find the scripture, Hebrews 11:6, and I'm going to read it to you and with you. Now, without faith, it is impossible to please God, for the one who draws near to him must believe that he exists, and he rewards those who seek him. Let's pray together. Father, help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain a child would understand me. Help me to be in tune to your Holy Spirit. Any word of knowledge given to me that you want me to speak to a person or their situation, Lord, if you prompt me with it, I want to be obedient to speak to it. And Lord, remind me, you look at all of us, but you look at me with a greater judgment because I'm a teacher of your word. And I accept my place in rightly dividing it. It's in the name of Jesus, I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. You can be seated. It's good to see you. For those of you who are guests today, we're in a series through the book of Hebrews. And today we're going through chapter 9 and chapter 10. And for those who are just beginning that journey with us, let me remind you that the Hebrew people are going through a lot of suffering. We're going to talk about that today. I'll show you in Scripture where they are going through the suffering and what's going on. They're wanting to go back to the law of Moses. They're wanting to go back to the priesthood of Aaron and the Levites. They're wanting to go back to the old system. And the Hebrew writer is saying, no, there's a new man on the scene. His name is Jesus. His sacrifice is for you, and you need to be paying attention to him and the cross and what he has done. So I want to give you a chart that's going to help you a little bit today. And the chart is between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, which would be the Old Testament and the New Testament. And I'm going to walk you through it for a moment to let you see the comparison contrast of what we're trying to put together. In the Old Covenant, the tabernacle was earthly. We can go to chapter 9, verse 1 and show you that. It says that it is an earthly sanctuary. Now, the first covenant also had regulations for ministry, and it was an earthly sanctuary. Let's talk about that for a moment. The tabernacle on earth was to resemble the tabernacle in heaven. And very detailed, incredibly detailed. Some of you have done the Beth Moore study on the tabernacle. The placement of everything was important. The symbolism was important. There was a reason you did this in that order and did that in this order. And it all had meaning to it. Very detailed, very systematic, very symbolic on how to do what and when, the steps you did them, the order. But it is an earthly sanctuary. And go back to the chart, Tammy, if you will. Under the new covenant, it is a heavenly sanctuary. We go to chapter 9, verse 11 for this. And in that verse, it says, now the Christ, the Messiah, has appeared, high priest of the good things that have come, in a greater and more complete tabernacle, not made with hands. It's not of this creation. It's not earthly. In fact, in just a little while, we're going to be talking about Abraham's looking for a city that's not built by human hands. He's looking for a city that's not made by man, talking about that eternal city. That eternal temple, tabernacle of the Lord, and the magnificence of it. Back to the columns, if you will. The old temple needed repair. That's why you have the Joash chest that we celebrate out of Chronicles and Kings in the fall. It needed repair. It had stuff that had to be done to it. The new tabernacle, the new covenant, that tabernacle is going to endure forever. What do I mean by that? Well, Peter teaches this. Jesus teaches this in the Gospels. What he has in store for you, moths will not be able to eat it. Have you ever had holes in your clothes, in your garments? I mean, one time I couldn't wait to wear this one shirt. It looked like Swiss cheese, you know? It had holes in it everywhere. Moths can't eat it. Rust can't decay it. Thieves can't steal it. So what God has in store for you in eternity, nothing earthly can touch it. So the tabernacle of God is going to endure forever. Under the old system in the tabernacle, we had repeated sacrifices over and over and over again. In the new covenant, and Jesus is the one sacrifice. He's the Lamb of God. Take away the sins of the world, which is my next point. The old covenant, when they did the animal sacrifice, it only covered sin. It didn't cleanse sin. The new covenant was the cleansing of sin. Behold the Lamb of God who's taking away the sins of the world. And the old covenant, it was for Israel only. The new covenant is for all people, for the world, for sinners. The old covenant was external and ceremonial. It was an outward cleansing, and the new covenant was an inward cleansing. It handled the heart and the conscience of man. And the old covenant didn't do that. It didn't handle the heart and the conscience of man. And I will speak about that in just a moment. In fact, just leave that there, Tammy, if you will. Let me speak to it now. When I was born to have a nature of rebellion. You look at those sweet little babies of ours, and later on you'll go, where in the world did this kid come from? You know, I mean, it went from being sweet to, my goodness gracious, right? Julie and I think we have great kids, but don't think for a minute we ever thought they couldn't do stuff. Okay? Why? Well, they were you and I are born with a nature of rebellion in us. That's from the sin of Adam. That's the way we're born into it. Julie and I never did check in our kids into a 3-day conference to teach them how to lie, cheat, and steal. Okay? You just don't have to do that with kids, right? Why? Well, there's a nature in us to rebel. We're born into that nature, every one of us. Well, what happens? Well, when I realize what Jesus did for me on the cross, when I realize that and I surrender to what he did, his sacrifice in my place for my sins, then I surrender to him in that. He becomes Lord and Savior, master of my life. Then what happens? He's changed that nature of rebellion to a nature to obey. He's changed the nature in me. That's what's happened. And because of that happening, that's where my old life ends and my new life begins. In Hebrews, he was warning them to not go back to the law of Moses or to the priesthood of Aaron or to the old sacrificial way, not do that. But the Hebrew writer doesn't mind if you go back to the cross. It's what we've been singing about. It's what we will sing about later. If you're going to go back to anything, you and I need a constant reminder of going back to the cross and realizing that's where the old Jeff died and the new Jeff started living. It was a nature of rebellion changed to a nature to obey. What happened in the old system was it never cleansed my heart, it never cleansed my conscience. Now, under Christ, there's an inward change in me, and that inward change has gone from rebellion to obedience. It's what is taking place. Now, you and I have got to get to that point. I don't know a Christian counselor that's worth their salt, meaning they're good, that doesn't remind you of that moment you surrendered to what Christ did for you on the cross. Any good Christian counselor in a biblical format is going to take you back to that moment where the old you died and the new you started living. When did that take place? When I got 21? No, the day I surrendered to Christ. So it's okay to go back and remember the cross because that's where it ended and began. It's okay to do that. You need a steady dose of that, and I'll talk about that in a moment. It's okay to do that. We're just not going back to the law of Moses or the old sacrificial system. We're not headed that way. We're not going to go that way. And I want to show you in chapter 10. We're going to move on to chapter 10. We're going to incorporate it all together. Verses 19 through 25 about how we move toward Jesus. We're getting to moving forward instead of going back. Let me just read it to you. Therefore, brothers, since we have boldness to enter the sanctuary through the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he has inaugurated for us through the curtain, that is his flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, our bodies washed in pure water. Let us hold to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us be concerned about one another. Let in order to promote love, good works, not staying away from our worship meetings, as some habitually do, but encouraging each other all the more as you see the day drawing near. I'm going to give you three steps out of these verses that move us onward. Now, here's what's happening. If you want to look at the whole book of Hebrews, the first part of it is reminding you, don't go back, go back. If you do go back to the cross. Not the law of Moses, not the sacrificial system and the priesthood of Aaron. I'll let you go back to the cross. We're going to see what happens there. That's where old Jeff died, new Jeff started living. That's where that happens. I need that. I need a reminder of that on a regular basis. So in these three steps I'm going to give you, I'm going to begin with verse 22. And it says, let us draw near with a true heart. All right, let's put our Sunday school hats on, okay? You're going to help me walk through this. Let's walk through it together. In the old system, you had the priest and the Levite were the only ones who could go into the tents. But then only the priest could go into the inner tent. Only the priest could go into the inner sanctuary. But the only two people allowed inside the tents were the priest and the Levite. Now I'm going to take you to the parable of the Good Samaritan. The man has been beaten by the road in Jericho, right? On the Jericho road, he's beaten, he's there. The priest walks by and didn't help him. And then the next one is the Levite went by and didn't help him. The order of that is really important because all the priests did inside that tent was offer up the sacrifices. The Levites did all the work. The Levites set up the altar. The Levites got the animals and their animal parts ready. And then when all the sacrifice is over, it was the Levite who had to stay and clean up all the mess. So you had the priest leaving the tent, going by the man on the side of the road, and then later on the Levite. That would have been perfect because the Levite would come later because he had to stay and clean it up. You and I could not go in the tent. Only the priest and the Levite could go in the tent. And the Levite, really, because he's the one that set everything up. Here's what's happened. When Jesus died, you all help me here, okay? When Jesus died, there was a veil. You all ready for this? That was torn, right? And it was a veil to that tent. And it meant that it was no longer the priest and the Levite who went in there. We get to go in there now. That's what that let us draw near means. And look at the ceremonial language he uses here. Our hearts are sprinkled clean. Our hearts are sprinkled clean from an evil conscience. Our bodies are washed. That's a ceremonial process of the priest and the Levite. Now he's saying, we can participate in that. Let me give you four examples. Some of you think my prayers go to heaven quicker than yours. Right? Well, it shows you what you think about your preacher, I guess. It's really the way you should think. My prayers don't go to heaven faster than yours. Some of you go, you're having a counseling session with your child, and you'll go, man, you know, it'll seal the deal if the preacher talks to him. Because you think, I have a keener insight of your child than I do, than I have a keener insight than you do. Let me help you out here. There is something in theology today. It's called the priesthood of the believer. And the priesthood of the believer means I am no longer entering the inner court for you. You get to go yourself. I am no longer the priest. I am no longer the priest. I am no longer your spokesperson. I'll show you my role in a minute. But you get to go in. The veil's been torn. The priest and the Levite don't do your business for you anymore. He speaks to you just like he speaks to me. Some of you will go, man, we need to wait until the Lord speaks to our pastor and then let him speak to us. That's not the way it works. The priesthood of the believer means he speaks to you directly, not just through me. All right? You have the same availability to him that I do, and I have the same availability to him that you do. In the mission of God, of Jesus in the church, I have a certain role he's called me to. But all of us get to go in. Why don't you take advantage of that? Man, you're going to try to figure out this life on your own. You're going to try your own intellect, your own intuition, your own creativity, and you're going, man, I'm going to be providential. Man, just go in the tent, man. Go in there. You get to go there now. So go there. Step one in this is let us draw near with a true heart, full assurance, our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience. Our bodies are washed pure in the water. So, man, take the opportunity and pray. If there's a bunch of junk in your heart, give it to him. If there's a bunch of praise and worship and thanks in your heart, give it to him. Just whatever's in your heart, give it to him. Just have a steadiness. His invitation is now. You used to couldn't go in the tent. I've torn it open. Come on. Just come on. Let us draw near to that. The step two in going forward in the Lord is found in verse 23. Let us hold on to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful to us. Earlier we talked about Abraham, and the writer in Hebrews said he kept his promises to Abraham, to us. And the whole point in that is, if he keeps his promises to us through Abraham, how much more is he going to keep his promises to us through Jesus? Right? Abraham's a good dude. And God promises to us through Abraham are good, solid. But how much more are his promises made to us through Christ just as good? Lay on to the hope that you have. Our logo, I don't know if you pay attention to our series logo. I assume you do, but you probably don't. But there's a little more thought went into that than you would probably give us credit for. It says Hebrews, confidence and hope. Now we're getting to the point in the book of Hebrews where we're switching from the going back. We're still going to mention it a little bit. And now it's how do we go forward? The warnings up to chapter 9 are don't go back to the law of Moses. Don't go back to the priesthood of Aaron, the sacrificial system of the Levites. Don't do that. There's danger there, destruction there. There's disobedience there. Why? Because now we have the sacrifice of Christ. So it says we go through here with confidence and we go through here with hope. And here it comes now. What do we do? Our world is crazy, confused, complex. Those are the three words I use to describe our world. There's no common sense. Things don't make sense. Well, what are we to do? We just going to shut down? I mean, we can't just shut down. You can't do that. It gets crazier by the week. It just gets crazy. I watch the news to see how the world is on my crazy gauge. You know what I'm saying? Y'all got a crazy gauge too? It's peaking. Mine's peaking. I don't know. I'm going to have to add more numbers and mercury to it, I guess. It's just going crazy. And I'm going, what do we do? Well, here's what you and I have got to do. We've got to, and go back to that verse, if you will, verse 20. Which one verse is it? Verse 23. In that is we've got to hold on to our confession of hope. Why? That God's going to see us through this thing, as difficult as it is, as crazy as it is. God is going to walk his people through this, as difficult as it may seem to you. Here's our problem. We're going, man, I thought following Jesus was stress-free, suffering-free, problem-free. No. In a minute, you're going to see the complete opposite of that. So what do I do? I got to hang on to the hope that is in Christ. If his promises to me are true through Abraham, then how much more are his promises to me and you through Christ? And I've got to hang on to that truth. And it may seem like our hands are slipping from that a little bit. I'm just telling you to get another grip on that. Just what this verse says. Get a good, steady grip on the hope. Our hope and our confidence is that Christ is going to lead us through this strange season of our world. We've got to hang on to that. Hey, Pastor, is he going to maneuver me through it? Yeah, if you follow him. If you try to figure it out, you're going to go crazy too. I mean, I try to figure it out, and I'm just going, man, I'm too old to figure stuff out. I just got to trust his movement, his leadership, him asking me to follow him, to do what I need to do. Let me give you a for example of that. Christianity Today has got a great article in their magazine about how retirement no longer is looking like this vacation. That the view of retirement is totally changing in our nation, our culture today. Because retirement looked upon a time of, I've done my work, I've saved my money, and I'm just going to coast on out till the Lord takes me home. Well, retirement, from a Christian standpoint, should be, you've done your labor, you've saved your money, your mission ought to increase and not decrease. So a biblical view of retirement is, how much more now can I do for the Lord? Instead of, how much less? So the kingdom view of retirement really becomes a different story when you look at it through the eyes of God. And our culture is depicting that retirement is no longer this vacation, this extended vacation. It is a time for the Lord to use me in a greater fashion than he ever is in the existence of my life. So what do we do? We hold on. What do we hold? The hope that is in us, and without wavering. I mean, don't try to figure out this world, because you're going to go crazy with it. Hang on to the promises of God, and those things will lead you through it. And not only lead you through it, you're going to impact a ton of people in doing so. This world is craving kingdom leadership in the workplace, the marketplace, everywhere else. It's really looking for how does the kingdom impact and change this place. So the first thing we do is we draw near. We get to go in the tent. The second is we hold on to our hope that's in the Lord. The promises are true, and that goes back to our logo, is confidence and hope. And then step three is I'm going to begin to meddle in your life just a little bit. It says, let us be concerned about one another in order to promote love and good works. Why are you here to get, or are you here to give? I hope you're here to give. If you came here to get, you're only on one side of it. You got to be here to give. What are we giving? We're giving encouragement. We need it. You and I need constant encouragement, because this world's crazy. I need you to encourage me. Do you know how many weeks I've wanted to quit? You're going, oh, preacher, you walk with the Lord? I do walk with the Lord. But man, I've wanted to throw in the towel a ton of times. In the early service, there's a guy that I actually did a revival for him in his church, and he and his wife now attend this church. Great, great family, great couple. And I looked at him and I said, Keith, you understand what I'm saying? And he just nodded his head, you know? How many times, I need you to encourage me. You're going, oh, Jeff and Julie, they're all right. I've wanted to quit more times than you can even think. I just wanted to quit. I just wanted to quit. Don't you let me quit. I need you to encourage me. Don't quit. Julie and I will take gift cards, anything you want to give to that. Don't let me quit. I need you. You need me. You need me to encourage you. World's jacked up. I don't think we need a debate on how jacked up it is. It's just jacked up. You and I need to encourage one another. Hold on to the hope that you have in Christ. You need me. We need each other. That's what the verse said. Let us be concerned about one another. You need a Christian brother and sister. And we come here and we come here and work. This is where it's all going to flip on you here in a minute, okay? I'm going to ask you if you love me now, because after this next verse, you're not going to love me. Do you love me? All right. You ain't going to let me like you do right now later on, okay? Look at verse 25. And we're going to go back to verse, and it's going to be in the context of the verses that we read earlier. And we are to be concerned with one another, but look at verse 25. We are encouraging one another to not stay away from our worship meetings. Folks, I did not write this. This is not my rule. This is the Hebrew writer's suggestion. I encourage you, you need to be concerned about one another, not staying away from our worship meetings as some habitually do, but encourage each other, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Okay, let's just get it out. Do I believe the Lord's got a clipboard that sees if you have perfect attendance? I do not believe that. But I'm going to tell you what you do need. You need a constant reminder from me in this church that you got to look at the cross, because the world is absolutely going to divert your attention off the cross. You and I need to be constantly reminded that's where the old Jeff died and the new Jeff started living. Because if you don't get a good steady dose of cross and resurrection, you're going to forget about the cross and the resurrection. And it's what Paul said he preached. He preached nothing but the cross and the resurrection. Why? Because the world is going to eat your mind up 6 days a week. And you're going, my preacher doesn't preach anything but the cross. Well, then you got a good preacher. That's the only thing that Scripture tells me to take you back to. Not the law of Moses, not the priesthood of Aaron, not the sacrifice of the Levites. But one thing you do go back to, you need to remember where the old you died and the new you started living. Because the world is going to eat that up. I don't need Jesus. I don't need the church. Who do you think is behind that? We're encouraging each other. I'm here to encourage you. I need you to encourage me. It's you scream, we scream, we all scream. And Trainer Joe's here. I can't say ice cream. So yogurt then. Yogurt. I'll say yogurt. This is how we need each other. And let me go a little further with you. I've got to convince you all on a rainy, cold day to get out of bed and get here. All right? That's not the encouragement here. Let me show you. Let me show you what I've been trying to tell you, the suffering that they've been going through, all that's happened. Let's look at verses 32 through 36 in chapter 10. I want to read it to you. This is what they are going through. Remember the early days when, after you had been enlightened, you endured a hard struggle. Some of you thought when you came to Christ it's going to be easy street. Some of your hardest days in your life came after you surrendered to Christ. That's biblical. Look, remember the early days? You endured a hard struggle just because you came to Jesus. A lot of us going, man, that's problem-free, conviction-free, suffering-free, stress-free. No. I mean, the enemy in the world does not want you committed to Christ. It doesn't want you happening. It's not taking place. So it says, you have endured a hard struggle with suffering. Some of you were publicly exposed. You were taunted as you came to the gathering. You were afflicted. You suffered. Other times, you were companions of those who were treated that way. In other words, if you weren't treated that way, the people you were with were treated that way. Let's look at, go on to the next verses. For you sympathize with the prisoners. Some of them were put in prison because they came to Christ. It's not because they broke a law, it's because they surrendered to the cross. They were put in prison. Some of you had your stuff confiscated. They came into your house and they took your possessions. They didn't knock on the door. They kicked it in. And they took your stuff. And he says, knowing that you yourselves have a better and enduring possession. The writer of Hebrews saying, don't worry about the stuff that you lost. What God has in store for you is eternal. It's enduring. Man can't touch it. You need to trust in that. Here's my point. I'm trying to get you to come here on a rainy day when you've stayed up too late on a Saturday night. You had no mental prep on being in worship. In our nation today, if you attend 2 out of 6 services, that you consider yourself an active member of the church. I want to remind you, if you come 2 out of 6, I do not consider you an active member of this church. You hear me? You might attend 1/3 of it, but I can't build a church on you. I can't build a church with that kind of activity. Are y'all listening to me? I can have a crowd, but I can't build what we need to build on people coming 1/3 of the time. Now, I'm trying to convince you on a rainy, cold morning to get here, and they are telling, and go back to verse 25, Tammy, they are telling these people, we need you to come to these gatherings because you need encouragement and hope. And while you're gone, somebody may steal the stuff out of your house. And while you come here, somebody may throw a tomato or a rock or a brick, or they may even kill you, but come on anyway. That's a little different than me saying, your car's got windshield wipers, you've got a raincoat, go ahead and get here. That's not the same thing. Hello, do y'all love me now as much as you did when I asked you a while ago if you love me? I mean, you need to come and celebrate the cross and the resurrection. You need a preacher to remind you at the cross is where the old you died and the new you started living. It wasn't because you lost weight or you changed your hair, or you got a new pair of glasses, or you wear skinny jeans like Logan. That's not where the new you started. And this old world's going to tell you you don't need Christ, you don't need the church. And I've got to remind you, man, I got to keep your eyes and your thinking and your fixed on what the Lord did and what he has in store for us in heaven. I've got to remind you of that. And then I need you to encourage me. And you need to encourage each other. And I need to encourage you. What? This world is crazy. Quit trying to figure it out. You're not going to. You and I have got to hang on to the hope that we have in Christ. So here's what we do. You remember the story of the blind man on the road? He's on the side of the road. Obviously, he can't see the crowd, but he can hear it. And there's this huge crowd following Jesus. And he starts crying out to him, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the disciples yell at him and tell him to be quiet. And he says it keeps getting louder. And Jesus stops. And then I'm sure everybody behind him stopped. And Jesus healed him and made him see. And my point in that is this. I don't know that I can figure out the world. Some of you are going to try. I'm going to encourage you not to. Because that same complex world has got to go to the cross and let the old them die and the new them start living. That's the only hope they have. And you and I carry that message of hope. That is the only thing they can do. You're going, why do they think that way? Why do they? Because they've never been to the cross. You can't go in the tent and get your conscience and your heart cleaned. You've got to go to the cross to do that. That's where the old you die, and that's where the new you starts living. And you and I have got to carry that message. That's the only hope they have. So we've got to be like blind Bartimaeus. When the world tells us to be quiet, you and I have to get louder. When this world is going, put your banner down, you and I need to raise the banner higher. All of us. Where you work, where you play, where you live. What am I doing? I can't figure you out. But I can only tell you, your only chance is you got to go to the cross where he died for you and he saved you and let the old you die and the new you come to life. That's the only way it can happen. You and I try to think that we can reason it out. You can't reason it out. We can't sit down and reason with them. The only reasoning is they got to go back to the cross. And that's our message. You need to be here more than 2 Sundays out of 6, not so that I can count nickels and noses. Not so I can do that. Because you need that encouragement. Because starting tomorrow, this world is going to get your eyes off of Jesus and the cross. And then next Sunday, I'm going to have to remind you to put them back on it. And we need that encouragement to come together. No, you and I aren't going to go through the same sufferings that they have. Our culture right now is not there. But he's saying, all this stuff can happen to you, but why don't you come on anyway? Can I just be real honest with you? I've never understood why churches never doubled every year. If we just want to do the math. I just never understood how you couldn't reach one person in 12 months. I just never understood that. I don't think you need a seminar for that. I don't think we need to go to a conference. I don't think I need to present a logo. I've just never understood how this crowd right here, by this time next year, shouldn't be doubled. Because the only message you have to a confused and crazy world is you got to go back to the one thing that happened for you, and that is the cross. That's where the old you dies and the new you starts living. Outside of that, you are doomed, damned, condemned already. And that's why he said you can't go back. There's danger in chapter 9. Don't go back. There's danger there. There's destruction there. There's judgment there. Don't go back. You know, I even said last Sunday, you know, it said you have to crucify Christ all over again, afresh. And if you don't pay attention to the first crucifixion, how are you going to pay attention to the second one? When all you got to do is pay attention to the first one. And that becomes what happens to us. There's got to be that constant reminder of what's going on with your life. Going back to the priesthood of the believer, you and I can draw near. Go back to verse 22, Tammy, if you will. It says, let us draw near there. And I'm going to wake you up a little bit here. It says to all of us that we have become a royal priesthood, which means you can draw into that. You're going, man, hey, pastor, what do I do about my kids? Go to that inner sanctuary with him. He'll help you with that. If you want to come to me, that's fine, but where am I going to lead you? I'm going to lead you to that. How's this? You see, you've got an opportunity here, man, that a lot of people in Israel never had. You got an opportunity to do that. Draw near to him, hang on to the hope that we have in Christ. That's what we project. And not only that, let's be concerned about each other. And this morning, you got up and you got here. Thankful you did. I'm glad to see you. I'd love every seat filled. Who wouldn't? All that's involved in that. And I'm glad you came, because a seeing world saw you come today. We're gonna celebrate cross and resurrection. But then not only that, a world that you can't see, that can still see you, you said to this world, the most important thing in my life is my faith and hope in Christ. The hounds of hell saw you come here today. Do you understand that? And I want them to know who I love. I want them to know who my heart is surrendered to. You're going, don't mention demons and hounds of hell. It scares me to death. Well, then I would like for you to scare them to death. Well, how does that happen? Because my surrender, my hope is in Christ. My view of Scripture is if they're going to come after me, they got to go through Jesus to get to me. I don't see really a whole lot of them being real happy about that. You understand? I mean, you ever seen that big brother, little brother? And the little brother's always getting at kids and then hiding behind his big brother, you know. You going, boy, preacher, you were really bold this morning about demonic activity. Well, I said it, but then I ran behind Jesus. You know what I'm saying? I'm peeking over his shoulder just a little bit. Yeah, I'm no match for them. I mean, they're more powerful than me. But I'm just going to tell you, nothing comes to me unless it comes through Christ. Why? Old Jeff died at the cross and the new Jeff started living. And if his promises are true to me through Abraham, how much more his promises are true to me? Look at 1 John 4:4. Greater is the Christ that is in me than he who is in all the world. Now, I'm not saying that we got to do Wonder Twin Powers Activate here with Kevin, and my Jesus and his Jesus is a tough Jesus, right? Yeah, boom. It's just the Jesus in Kevin alone is greater than all of Satan's kingdom. It's not that we team up and make him bigger. He's the biggest. So you and I need a constant reminder of our faith and hope is in Christ. You're going, well, preacher, that's a sneaky way of getting us to attend more. You need it. Because if you don't have that constantly shown to you and reminded to you, you're going to forget where to fix your eyes and where to fix your gaze. And we're going to handle that in Hebrews 12. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. You got it? Let's look at verse 39. Verse 39. It says, but we are not those who draw back and are destroyed. If I go back, I'm going to the cross. I'm not going back to the law of Moses. I'm not going back to the priesthood of Aaron. But we are those who have faith and obtain life. In the book of Hebrews, we're going to quit talking about going back. And from here on out, we're going to be talking about going forward. Man, I scratch my head. How do I navigate a church through this culture? And here's the answer. I have to constantly remind you of the cross and the resurrection. The cross is where the old you died and the new you started living. And you and I need a constant, steady dose of that. You do not make a new you. The only person that makes a new you is Jesus. He is our new promise, our new covenant, our new testament. He is our new sacrifice. And if he comes back again, how are you going to pay attention to the second crucifixion if you've not paid attention to the first? I'm here to remind you, remember what he's done for you. And remember where the new you comes from. It comes from the cross of Christ. And we celebrate that today. Hold on to that. Raise the banner of Christ higher. Because if anybody comes to us and goes, what do I do? Well, you got to go back to the cross just like I did. Because that's where the old you dies and the new you starts living. Let me pray over my people. I love you, by the way. I want you to know that. I love you. And I believe in you. And let's raise his banner higher. At home, at work, and at play, let's raise the banner of Jesus higher. Father, I pray over our people today. Your word does it over and over again. It takes us back to the cross, to remembrance of where you took away our sins. It wasn't just external, Lord, it was internal. You did cleansing of our heart and our conscience. You changed our nature to rebel to a nature to obey. And I thank you for the cross, Lord. I thank you for the old me dying, being nailed to that tree, and the new me being raised. Only you can do that. And that's the message we give to this crazy world that you've called us to. And Lord, remind us that you love this crazy world just like you love us. Help us not forget that. You love them. And may we who love you show your love to those people. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. The invitation is here for you to come and surrender your life to Christ. Already before the service start, there was somebody who said, I want to be baptized. I want to be baptized. I need to come to Christ. And we're going to be talking to that person fully. So we had an answer to invitation before we even started. But the invitation is for you to come and surrender your life to Christ. You may have never done that. There's people here to lead you in your commitment, your surrender, your prayer. Come see them. The invitation is for believers. Come and pray. Come and lay your burdens down. We offer communion. Remember his sacrifice. The bread represents his body given to drink, his blood shed. Take the bread, dip it in the drink. Before you consume it, would you thank him for the cross? That's where the old you died and the new you started living. And give him thanks as you remember him. The invitation is this: whosoever will, for whatever reason today, you come. Church, would you stand? Counselors, would you find your spot? Logan's going to listen. Pay attention to this song in worship, okay? It's going to grab everything we talked about today of who the Lord is and what he's done for us. You come.